Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Muy buenos dias. Welcome to the Patrick Madrid Show. Muchas enchiladas, everybody. Welcome. 888-914-9149. There is room for you on the program. And earlier in the hour, the better. We can get you on the air more easily then. If you get a busy signal, just hit redial. 888-914-9149.
It does seem like people call in at the end of the show when there's not enough time to get to everybody.
That's true.
I mean, it just fills up right at the end. So
Yes, that's true. I can't even do that.
Yesterday, you had talked about a listener, you had an email, actually, from someone that I wish I had in front of me. But
I got emails, friend. I've got lots of emails.
Oh, I know. I see them. But this one in particular was saying that you are too political, and that this show needs to be more faith driven. Do you remember that one?
I do. As a matter of fact, that gentleman who wrote in yesterday, I answered the email on the air. I'm thinking back to it now. I haven't gone back and listened to it, but I think I said, I think you're barking up the wrong tree, because I don't think it was this show that you heard, because I can't remember talking about anything political anytime recently.
Well, get this. That guy happened to hear, so he, it might even say it in the email here, but he happened to turn on the Patrick Madrid Show on the replay at night, and he heard you read his email, and he wrote another email.
I'd love to hear it.
This is from Doug in Providence. Hi, Doug.
Okay. Shout out, Doug.
Hey, Patrick, I can't thank you enough for your candid response to my question today about being tempted to show... Oh, wait a second. I think I grabbed the wrong one. Patrick.
Wrong guy.
Oh, you do have too many emails. Oh, and here I go. You know what? I don't think I have that one.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
Oh, it's I'm so sorry. Well, maybe I should just read Doug's email.
Well, how about that? Why don't we do Doug's email? And I'm not sure which one that is.
And then I'll dig. I'm sorry, everybody.
Dig around.
Tease. It's for later. Keep listening, and you'll hear that. You'll hear that response. All right. This is from Doug in Providence. I can't thank you enough for your candid response to my question today about being tempted to show fake proof of being vaccinated to gain access to a meeting being held in New York City. Mm-hmm. And this really took off yesterday when you had mentioned when this caller you gave him the advice. You know,
I said personally, I believe that would be immoral because it would be, you know, forging a document.
Right.
Something like, you know, I don't like that they're... Just for those who are maybe tuning in and didn't hear it, he asked a question related to, like, well, they're going to force me to get the COVID vaccine. I don't want it. And my job might be lost as a result of not taking it. And I have a forged COVID... What do you call these things? A COVID vaccine card. And it's forged. And I think he said he had it for like his whole family and maybe other people as well. So I said, well, I don't think that's moral. I don't think you should do that. And that, of course, that lit up and everybody, as you say, lined up on one side or the other of this issue. And understandably, because people have different views of this, but I shared my view. So
right.
This is him writing back? Is that...
That's right.
Is that this? Okay.
That's right. And so he says, besides telling me what I already knew in my heart, your response gave me the courage to confront some of the pressure being applied head on. Much to my surprise, my company is accommodating my inability to travel to New York City, at least for the time being.
Wonderful.
This is the part I really like. I shouldn't have doubted God's providence and grace. This isn't to say that I won't lose my job at some point, but standing in truth is very powerful. Ashamed I didn't see that earlier. God bless you and your ministry. Thank you, Doug.
Oh, man. Yeah, Doug, thank you. Thank you for having the candor and the, you know, being a stand-up guy to publicly say that. I mean, it would have been just as easy to have those thoughts and never return to it. But thank you. Thanks for taking a moment to share your thoughts with me. And Cyrus, you know how it is. You hear the program every single day, except when you're not here. But you know that sometimes if I take a stand on something that's unpopular, sometimes people, you know, this, oh, well, I can't believe you hold that view. I can't believe that that's your opinion. I'm never going to listen to your program again. We don't get too much of that. Every so often we do. But it's really nice when somebody who might disagree with me stops and thinks about it. And not that I need people to agree with me. I don't mean it that way. But it's great. And I think it's in short supply where people actually think about things and then maybe modify their opinion based on new information or a new way to look at things. And I've had that happen to me. There have been times on this program where I had a view, I had an opinion on something, and after talking to some of our wonderful listeners, they changed my mind. And I think that's good because we can all learn from each other, right?
That is right. And I, you know, I found that email that I meant to read first. And so this is the guy who wrote in and said, hey, stay away from politics. This is a Catholic station.
Oh, and I won't listen to your show because you talk about politics right. or something? Okay.
So his name's Jim, and he's listening in Augusta, Maine on 89.5 WWTP.
Shout out, Jim.
And he says, I was listening to the station going home from a workout tonight, and I'm not sure whose show it was. It was yours. And I just, I just tuned in. I had written a couple of days ago with a concern about integrating politics into your programming. Keeping in mind that I'm a new listener, it's certainly possible that I misunderstood or misheard a segment that I perceived to have been politically slanted. Surprisingly, my email was read on the show after I barely turned the dial on my radio. I thought the response was well done. I heard the host say that the station doesn't promote any political agenda or ideology. He encouraged me to continue listening and to point out any discrepancies in his viewpoint. Thanks for taking time to respond. That was refreshing.
Wow. And so is your email, too. What is that gentleman's name again?
That is Jim in Maine.
Jim, thank you. Appreciate it very much. And again, another fair-minded person. Thank you for taking time to give it a second look, a second listen, as the case may be. And you know, another thing too, Cyrus, this is interesting. How many people express to us how much they appreciate having their emails read on the program?
Yeah. Another thing that really surprises me is how often they just happen to tune in when you're reading and responding to their email. This happens.
That's got to be providence.
Over and over and over again. I mean, it has to be providence.
Yeah, really. Yes, that's true. And I do want that on my karmic record. That's a good thing. So I do see lots of people who maybe at first glance, they hear something on the program and they're like, I'm not so sure. I don't agree with that. But over time, if you give it a listen and are willing to just think about it, sometimes your opinions might change too. As I say, mine have as well. And yours have too, Cyrus. I remember maybe the classic, but you were in a better position to tell me this, but I think the classic that I remember is before COVID got started. So this is like the fall of, or the winter, maybe around December of 2019. And they were starting up with this COVID in China, and there's going to be COVID and all the COVID stuff. And I said, this is going to be a thing. This is going to get big. And I forget how I said it, but there's something to this. And I had other friends. I said, this is nothing. This is never going to happen.
Yeah,
it's not a big
deal.
That
was me. Patrick, do not talk about this on the air. This is a big nothing burger. That's what I told you.
I remember you said that.
I was wrong. You were right.
Well, I'm not. Thank you. I'm not fishing for that. But isn't it interesting how, as time goes on, some things that seem awfully clear at the beginning, your perspective changes.
Yeah, you know, another big one that you I heard it from you first, and I was like, this cannot be real. Is the transgender movement and it being, children being groomed and talked into thinking that they're in the wrong body.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's who, come on, that's ridiculous, Patrick. We can't talk about this. You're like, Cyrus, this is real. This is coming to every family. Like
small town USA.
Yep. And I thought you were wrong. And once again,
you told me
once again, you were right. I was wrong.
Well, thank you.
All right. No more of that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, to your point, Cyrus, check it out. The New York Post has got an article about a four-year-old who has captured hearts and sparked a heated online debate after announcing he was a boy via a rainbow-fueled gender reveal at the Vancouver Pride Parade. I mean, to your point, you're talking about there's no way that these little kids, this is all hype, this is not happening. Oh, man, is it happening? The boy, it's a girl, okay? I don't want to even give the name of the child because they give the name in the article in the New York Post. I would like to preserve his anonymity, her anonymity, excuse me. It gets so confusing.
It sure does.
It's a little child, 4 years old in Canada, a girl, but from a young age expressed that he was a boy, according to his mom. Now viral footage and photos captured the moment that young Charlie, this is the pseudonym now, with his grandmother by his side, releasing a confetti cannon that filled the area with blue smoke. Once they closed the road, this according to his mom, once they closed the road, Charlie strutted out with Grammy and they faced the sidelines. And after a short struggle, the cannon exploded with blue smoke and biodegradable confetti.
make sure you put that in there.
Because that would be wrong. That would be immoral. That would be doing something immoral if you didn't have biodegradable confetti. Majoring in the minors and minoring in the majors. The mom's 27 years old. After this, the little boy, it's a girl, okay, ran into her arms. Charlie jumped with joy as the crowd cheered him on. He couldn't believe the love and support he was shown by bystanders. Despite Charlie's happiness, his mom said that she has come under attack by vicious trolls online, calling her a pedophile, a groomer, and a rapist for her son's transition. However, she said that her child started expressing different gender needs at the age of 2, telling his family he was growing to look just like daddy and I'm a boy all day, every day, etc., etc. So they brought him to the Vancouver Pride Parade, of course, and they made him the object of adulation from the people in the parade and bystanders. And I won't read the rest of the story. You can read the whole sorry thing for yourself if you're interested. But what makes me terribly sad is, you know, where is the actual love and compassion for people who are genuinely confused? Now, I don't know anything more about this child than I saw in this article. But I have to wonder if maybe mom and or dad was, or both were complicit in kind of prodding this little girl in this direction. Because they could win brownie points maybe with their social circles. You know, if you're the parent of a trans child, you get elevated in society. At least that's what I think some people think or maybe are looking for. So it makes me very sad for these children. And I want to bring the conversation back to love and compassion. We should be loving these children. And part of loving them is helping them if they indeed have this kind of dysphoria, and they're not really sure who they are in terms of boy or girl. Okay, this happens. It's not the end of the world. And you can help somebody in that situation. It does not help the child, however, to enable what in fact is something that is not real. And that's where it becomes very difficult because you say, well, I love my child. Yes, absolutely. I love all my children. I love them no matter what they do, even if they were, you know, axe murderers. I would still love them, but I would be, you know, I would tell them, don't do that. It's bad for you. Now, that's an extreme example, of course. And I'm not comparing axe murderers with people who have gender dysphoria. That's not my point. My point, rather, is it doesn't matter what your child does. You're still going to love your child. Am I right, Cyrus? Can I get an amen?
Amen, brother.
See, so
yeah, it's so sad. It's like, oh, when she's 2 years old and she likes playing with cars and her favorite color is blue. You know, it's not dolls and dresses. Yeah, so she must be a boy.
And then to push and push and push in that direction. So, well, enough said, but just it's a great reminder of the point that you were making, Cyrus. It's also a great reminder that when we are dealing with people, especially people who are very fragile emotionally, they're in a difficult phase of their life. They're suffering in many respects. we have to be loving and compassionate. We have to be respectful. But at the same time, we also have to speak the truth. As St. Paul says, speak the truth in love. You have to speak the truth. And it's not loving if you don't speak the truth, especially for somebody who really needs to hear it. And maybe you're the only person who will ever say the truth to that person. If you don't do it, that could be the sin of omission. You know, as we talked about a little bit yesterday on the program, when we say the Confiteor at Mass, through my fault, through my fault, through my most grievous fault. By the way, there is no such word as grievous. I hear people saying, through my most grievous fault.
I said it once, and you will not drop it.
I landed on you pretty hard for that one, didn't I? I'm sorry, by the way. Do I need to apologize to you? Because Nancy said the other day, you're always so hard on Cyrus. Why are you so hard on Cyrus?
That is so not, I don't think I am. It's not true. It's not true. We're having fun.
I'm what you'd call the easy boss.
You Uncle are awesome,
Uncle Sugar.
Awesome to work with.
Uncle Sugar. You can call me that.
I'm not calling you that.
You're not calling me Uncle Sugar? But no, I can't resist taking the opportunity to say there is no, hear me, everybody. There is no such word as grievous. Through my fault, through my fault, through my most grievous fault. Look it up. You'll be surprised. But that could be a sin of omission. See, I left a popcorn trail. I know exactly where I was going. That can be a sin of omission if you neglect when it's called upon, when you have a duty to do so, and you don't tell somebody the truth, especially when they really need to hear it. 888-914-9149. We're going to take a break and then head straight into your phone calls. The number again, 888-914-9149.
I was wrong. You were right. You're the best. I'm the worst. You're very good looking. I'm not attractive.
All right. As long as you're willing to admit that.
Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. In today's crazy world, finding companies that align with your Catholic values is a challenge. Your choice of cell phone provider matters. Cyrus and I switched to Charity Mobile, and you should too. Enjoy excellent coverage on America's most reliable network while supporting a pro-life, pro-family company. Use offer code Patrick for a free phone. Don't miss out. Act now at charitymobile.com.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Have a question? Give Patrick a call. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid on Relevant Radio.
Groovy, baby. Welcome back, 888-914-9149. Let's go to Ronnie in Brooklyn, New York. Good morning, Ronnie.
Hello, Patrick.
Yes, sir. Welcome.
Thank you. Listen, I was telling the person on the phone before I'm speaking to you about how God our Father in heaven hears every prayer because he knows everything. He hears everything. Through Christ, he's one with Christ, and the Holy Spirit is in us. And like I said, all your callers that come in to pray for them, and mm-hmm. with Rocky, Father Rocky on the Rosary Hour,
yeah.
when people call in with their problems and their pains and sufferings, mental and physical, God hears these prayers, and God answers all prayer, and he answers all prayer in the best interest of every one of us, because we're his children, and any father, especially our Father in heaven, loves us and will take care of us in the best way possible. And he will answer every prayer, because also life is eternal. Like, what father on earth wants that for their children? No father on earth wants that for their children, or mother.
I agree. So you told the call screener all of this as you were getting ready to go on the air?
I told him much more than I'm telling you, because I don't have such a good memory of the things that I've said. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I was telling him that in case I can't be on the air, that he would send this message to the listeners, so to give them hope, not to despair.
I agree with you, Ronnie. We don't want despair. Hope and encouragement is what we're all about. And you're right, since you're bringing up the issue of prayer, you're right that God does answer prayer often in ways that we're not expecting, because he has a better plan than we do. No matter how good I think my plan is, I always find out that God's plan is better. I'll tell you a story about that in a minute. But there's an interesting passage that gets to the heart of your question. I'll leave you with this thought. 1 Peter 3:12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." So this is one of those passages that sheds a little light that if somebody is doing evil and yet praying, "Oh, Lord, I don't want to die. Please help me with this," or "please help me with that." The Bible here and elsewhere is pretty clear that those are not prayers that the Lord is going to answer. And the prayers of the faithful, indeed, are the prayers that he answers. And how often he answers them in ways that are unexpected. Thank you for the call. I do appreciate that. And it's nice to chat with you, Ronnie. Let me tell you a quick story. Cyrus, I don't know if you remember this one, but when I was long about, I guess I was about 18, 19, thereabouts. And I must have been 18 and a half going on 19 or thereabouts. And I wasn't married yet. I got married when I had just turned 20, but that was still in the future. And I didn't have any car at the time. And I forget why. I think my car got toasted somehow, and I, you know, it's just like a total loss. So I had to get a car. And this guy I knew had a really cool looking powder blue VW Bug, really classic looking. And it drove great. And I knew him, and I, you know, he would come and go in this car. And eventually he wanted to sell it. So when I found out he wanted to sell it, I said, "Well, I'll buy it. And how much do you want for it?" He says, $500. And I thought, okay, just give me a few days and I'll get the $500. So I had to beg, borrow, and not steal. I wouldn't steal, but I had to beg and borrow and kind of scrape my pennies together. And I had my money. And a few days later, I call him up. "Hey, where do you want to meet? I'll pay you for the car." And he says, "Oh, sorry about that." He says, "I sold it yesterday." "What?" "I sold it to another guy." "Well, you said you'd sell it to me." I was angry. And he said, "Well, the other guy offered me $600. So I'll take $600 over $500 any day." So I was irritated and I was disappointed. And one reason why I wanted to get this car was because I thought I would look pretty cool in it as I was driving my new girlfriend around. Her name was Nancy. Just started going around with her. And I thought, "Well, I'll look pretty good in that VW Bug and she'll be impressed." And I remember, I don't know really why I did this, but I do remember saying a prayer to the Lord, "Lord, please make him change his mind." Because apparently he hadn't handed the car over yet to that guy. He just told him he would sell it to him. And I said, "Lord, please, I want to buy the car. I was first in line. Please change his mind." He didn't change his mind. The other guy buys the car. And I knew who the other guy was, someone I knew around town. And, well, that's it. No car for me. Not that car anyway. So maybe, I don't know, 2-3 months go by, something like that. And the guy who bought that car, Cyrus, check it out. The guy who bought that car out from under me died in that car when, as he was coming home from a party, coming down, you know, the very hilly neighborhood where this party was, the tie rod in the front of that VW Bug probably was rusted through. It snapped. And he and the guy who was in the car with him went over, over the edge of this road and went down into a canyon and died there. Oh. And I realized when I heard about this, that could have been me. That could have been me and Nancy in that car zipping around, because, you know, we lived in a very hilly area in Southern California, and going up in the mountains as we did and going all over the place. It could easily have happened, and it could have been us that died. Now, may the souls of the faithful departed rest in peace. Amen. The guys who died in that car crash. But it really was a sobering reminder to me that I really wanted something and I didn't get it and God didn't give it to me, because look at what could have happened if I had gotten what I wanted.
That's crazy. What a sad, it's sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was sad.
It also reminds me of your plane ride, the plane that you missed.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of similar.
You want me to tell that story? Yeah, I haven't told that one in a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Okay, so yeah, I will tell that story, but it's not exactly praying for something that I didn't get. Well, I'll just tell the story. Make of it what you will. So this is going back to 1986, the summer of 1986. And what happened was my brother and I guess we had a long weekend, and my younger brother, and we decided that we would go to Mexico City and spend, you know, 2-3 days, 4 days, whatever it was, bebopping around and whatnot. Because on my father's side, our father's side, the family comes from Mexico. Now, we weren't actually going to visit family. We were just going to cruise around. So we bought the tickets and everything was all set, and we went down there. But at the last minute, I was looking at the itinerary and I noticed that our flight from Mexico City to come back up to Los Angeles, it left about, I don't know, I have to go back and look at it, but it left sometime in the morning, and it would get back to LA sometime like late morning or right around noon, somewhere in there. And it occurred to me that I wanted to spend more time there. So at the last minute, I asked, can we change this so that we can leave later in the day? Because there was a flight leaving Mexico City like, I don't know, like 4 p.m. or something. And it just so happens we were able to change it at the last minute. And they're like, okay, yeah, great. So, but the travel agency said, one problem though is that the first flight is going to take you all the way to LAX. The second flight can only take you as far as Tijuana, and you have to get off there. And I thought, well, yeah, we can do that. So we can arrange for somebody to come pick us up. So that's what we did. Didn't think anything about it. Well, on the flight back, we land in Tijuana, and there are all kinds of news crews, and there are television cameras and reporters, and people are thronging as passengers are getting off our plane from Mexico City. And I'm trying to figure out what's going on. So we saw our dad there, and he is beaming, super happy. Hey, Dad, thanks for coming down to pick us up. Everything okay? He said, well, didn't you hear what happened? No, what happened? He said, the plane that you were originally scheduled to be on, the Aeromexico flight, flight 498, the one that left in the morning, that plane crashed a few hours ago in Cerritos, California. It was on final approach to LAX, and it collided with a little Piper private airplane that crashed into it. And not only did the guy in his family, or who I'm not really sure how many people were in that little plane, they were killed, and every single person on the DC-9, the Aeromexico flight, they all died because the flight crashed into the ground and killed a bunch of people in the neighborhood in Cerritos, California. And this all happened a few hours ago. Well, that was the flight that we were originally scheduled to be on. And so how is it that at the last minute, without thinking about why, I just decided, let's see if we can change it. And we did change it successfully. And you know, this is the kicker for me, Cyrus. You know what we did with that extra time that we had in Mexico City?
What?
We made a pilgrimage to the Basilica of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And we went to Mass. I think I went to confession. We prayed the rosary. We saw the tilma. We spent several hours there in prayer and contemplation. Then we drove to the airport and got on the plane and came back.
And people say there's no signs anymore.
It's hair-raising to me. And I still have that flight itinerary. I still have the printout from the travel agency. And it's eerie to me when I look at it. I don't look at it very often, but whenever I run across it, I think about that. And people say, well, that was just coincidence. Well, maybe it was just coincidence, but I tend to think it was an intervention, an intercession. And some people have said to me, well, then why did God save you and not the people on that plane? I don't have an answer to that question. I don't know. You know, I have flown from Boston to Los Angeles many times. Why couldn't I have been on one of the flights that happened or that went down on 9/11? I could have been. I've flown those routes before, on those airlines before. So why did God allow some people to die and not me? I don't know. That's part of his providence, and I don't fully understand it. One more story, as long as I'm at it, Cyrus, if you don't mind. Can you handle one?
All right, one more.
Because this goes to the heart of what the gentleman was saying about answered prayers and how God answers prayers. Here's a story that happened to me where he answered my prayer, but in a very different way than I really wanted. So I'm in high school. I'm a junior in high school, and they have the foreign exchange program started up at our high school. And a whole bunch of kids, they apply for this. They're going to be able to send one student overseas. You get to pick what country you want to go to. I wanted to go to Japan. That's all I wanted to do in life. I wanted to go to Japan. I wanted to learn Japanese. And I also thought, you know what? There's probably some cute girls over there too, and I wouldn't mind meeting some of them. So I threw my hat in the ring. I wrote my essay. I filled out the application, as did like 75 or 100 other students at my high school. Well, the process sort of whittled it down. You had to jump through several different hoops. And each time they did that, the number of applicants would shrink to the point where they finally were like down to the final five. I think it was the final five. And I was in that final five. And I was so, so excited. Well, long story short, I won. And they told me, guess what? You're our guy. You're the foreign exchange student. And I had put down on my application, they give you three choices. What three countries would you like to go to in descending order? Well, number one, Japan. Number two, Japan. Number three, Japan. So
so where did you want to go?
So when I found out that I won, I was ecstatic because they said, you're going to Japan. And so I was thrilled, and I was just, you know, telling all my friends, and this is great. Well, not that much time goes by. It seems like, and my memory's hazy now, but it seems like it was maybe a couple weeks went by, 3 weeks went by, something like that. And somehow they found out, not that I tried to conceal it from them, but it never occurred to me to mention it, that my dad had taken or was going to take a job opportunity that would move us out of that school district into a different school district. And so they confirmed that that was actually going to happen. So they took it away from me and they said, nope. And I said, well, I'm not even going to be here next year. I'm going to be in Japan. And they said, yeah, but you know, the expectation is that you come back and you share your experiences with the students. And if you're not living in this school district, you can't really do it. And I said, no, I'll crawl on broken glass, whatever it takes. I will do this, please. And they said, no. So they gave it to the runner up. And I was so furious, and I was dejected because it's like snatching victory from the jaws of defeat, or snatching defeat from the jaws of victory, I guess. And I remember praying and praying and praying, Lord, please make them change their mind. I really want to go. You know how much I want to go. Everything's set. I won this, etc. And that door closed. It never reopened. And that other guy went to Japan, had a wonderful time, came back speaking fluent Japanese. I was so envious of him. But here's the moral to the story. God did not give me the desire of my heart. He did not give me what I really wanted. He gave me something much better, because if I had gone to Japan, I would not have met Nancy. I would not have 11 children. I would not have 28 grandchildren. I would not have the blessings that God has given to me for these past 42 years with her had I gone to Japan. So I've never forgotten that story. And any time I find myself thinking, oh, come on, God, why don't you just give me what I want? Because sometimes he has something much better in store. And that's my story. And I'm sticking with it.
I love it. I love that story of, you see it all the time in movies where the main character has a goal in mind, mm-hmm. and they go through their trials and tribulations. And at the end of the movie, they don't get the goal they originally wanted. They get
something better.
Something even better.
Yeah, that's very true. Well, so I'm all storied out, and all God's people are saying amen. Thank you. Let's take a quick call before we go to the break. Let's go to Joshua in Albuquerque. Good morning, Joshua.
Good morning, Patrick. I go to breakfast every Saturday morning and at a certain restaurant, and mm-hmm. there's this girl that I liked, and I asked her if she wanted to go out on a date with me. She told mm-hmm. me she was married. So she said she was flattered that I asked her. She was really flattered. So I went back the other day and asked her if she was really married, and she said, well, she's getting married next month. So I'm thinking maybe it'll be like The Graduate, you know, movie where I can pursue her, and maybe before she gets married, she'll fall for me. So the next time I go, I'm going to ask her if she just wants my number or something. So I was wondering if that's a good idea, if I should try it, and maybe God has this in store for me.
I don't recommend it. I mean, if she's already engaged to the man that she assumedly she loves, and he loves her, and they have their wedding planned, if I were him, I would be really angry with you if you tried to move in on her.
Okay.
You're speechless. There are a lot of pretty women out there, Joshua, but if she's, I mean, think about it. If it, let's say that you were the man and she was engaged to you to be married a month from now, and you're planning your wedding and you're getting all of your whatever in line, and some guy shows up and tries to scoop her up and take her away from you, how would you feel?
I feel very bad.
Yeah. Remember what Jesus said. He said, do unto others what you would have them do unto you. The golden rule. So just as you would not want some poacher to come along and try to, you know, turn her attention away from you at nearly the last minute, you're planning your life together, you're planning your wedding together, and this guy shows up, just as you wouldn't want that to happen to you, you shouldn't do it to him. Just be respectful of their relationship would be my advice. Because otherwise what happens, Joshua, is you become an opportunist and you're maybe seeking something that rightfully doesn't belong to you. Now, if it so happened that she fell madly in love with you and she realized, oh my gosh, this guy Joshua, he's the man of my dreams. I wasn't even aware that somebody so wonderful could exist. And then she had second thoughts and she broke off the engagement. I need to think about this. I'm not sure what I want. And he'd be very sad. And she thinks about it and she prays about it. And the more she thinks about it, the more she's interested in you. That's different. But if you're just rolling up and trying to get her to go with you instead of with him, I think that's a bad idea.
So how should I ask the next time I go to breakfast with her? Like, just be friendly?
Yeah, be friendly. Be a gentleman. Be a man of honor. An honorable gentleman is what you should be. And wish her well. May God grant them many happy years together. And you'll find your woman of your dreams in due time. Thanks, Joshua. I'll be right back. This hour is sponsored by Solidarity HealthShare, the first to offer comprehensive sharing for prescription medications. Check now to see how much you can save. Go to CatholicHealthShare.com.
This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio and RelevantRadio.com.
Good vibes, as per usual, on the Patrick Madrid Show. Thank you for listening. 888-914-9149. Cyrus, do you remember that email I read briefly the other day? It might have been yesterday, from a guy, a listener who, everything I say is wrong. Remember that one?
I have it right here.
He just wrote me another email telling me why I was wrong for saying that.
Should I read this first one?
Sure, go ahead.
I mean, I don't have...
Who's it from?
Well, this one's from... It's Arlen.
No, it's fine. No, actually, it's fine.
Is it the same guy?
Okay, go ahead.
Arlen?
No.
Oh, it's a different person?
No.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
All right, here we go. Please, all capitals, get rid of this guy. The way he treats people.
Me?
The way he treats people who call in is horrible. Does not represent what a good Catholic should be. His views are liberal and anti-conservative. Mm. My friends feel the same way, and this certainly turns us off to listening to your radio station.
Whoa. Are you sure it's my show you're listening to, though? That's the question that this prompts in my mind.
the headline, the subject line is very angry with Patrick Madrid. So I'm pretty sure he's talking about you.
Probably. I guess I never thought of myself as extremely liberal. Or how did he put it? Liberal and anti-conservative? If anything, I would say probably just the opposite.
Yeah, it's so funny because you'll get both sides. Apparently, you'll get both sides because we've gotten the emails like, "Oh, you're just ultra conservative," and now you're anti conservative.
Mm. Well, I must disagree with you, sir. Thank you for writing to me, though. I appreciate that. But I think if you listen longer, give it a try, you may modify your opinion of me in due time. And by the way, your opinion of me, to me, is everyone has a right to his own opinion. And I'm not bothered or offended or anything if people have a negative opinion. That's okay. As long as you listen to the program, that's really what I care about. Even if you're listening to the program like the guy who writes to me all the time and every time telling me what I'm wrong about, and he just wrote me another email this morning, just a few minutes ago, telling me why I was wrong about... Anyway, even those emails, I really do appreciate. Can't always read them on the air sometimes because they're too long. But as long as you're listening, that's the main thing, and I do appreciate it. Let's see. Let's continue. Let's go to Carol in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Good morning, Carol. Hello. It sounds like you're on a speakerphone, maybe, or Bluetooth. Can you just go?
I'm not.
Straight?
But, okay. I'm not on a speakerphone.
Okay.
So anyway, thank you for your advice. So I have a granddaughter for whom I'm her confirmation sponsor, and she has gradually slipped away from the church, but I've seen her several times this year, and she has a 3-year-old son and a 6-month-old son. And I said, you haven't had them baptized. And she said, no, but I would listen to you if you had something to convince me. So just looking for your best advice, because I think my family's gradually slipping away.
Yeah, isn't that sad? A lot of people have that experience in their families. I've known people in my extended family who have gone down that road, and it is heartbreaking when you see them moving away from the truth, and they just don't realize it. But at least this young woman is willing, as she said, to listen to you. So that's great. That's an open door. So maybe what you could do would be to go on YouTube and get some of the videos from the Aquinas 101 channel. It's a series of videos that are produced by the Dominican Friars of the Eastern Province, the province of St. Joseph. And that organization is called the Thomistic Institute, named for St. Thomas. And on their channel, they've got topics, discrete themes on things like the sacraments. What do they do? Things like, how do we grow in love for Jesus Christ? How do you have faith in Jesus? What are the virtues, and so on? And they're really well done. They're all relatively brief, typically 7-8 minutes long. They're animated, so you see things happening in addition to the spoken word. And they're very good. They're Thomistic, but they're very clear and accessible. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if maybe if you started sending her some of these videos, especially about baptism and what it does and how it changes your life. It's the rebirth, the regeneration. As Jesus said, unless you are born again, unless you are born from above, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. He said this in John chapter 3. So maybe start there and send her some of these videos. And you yourself can be watching them and learning from them. But I have a feeling they'll speak to her. They're not pushy. They're not going to pressure her or guilt her or anything like that. They just kind of explain it in a way that's very winsome and very appealing, I think.
That sounds great, really. She sits with the baby and, you know, watches TV. So maybe she could watch a YouTube of, 6 to 8 minutes? Something like that.
Yeah, typically 6 to 8 minutes. Right. So if you haven't jotted it down, I encourage you to jot it down. So you want Aquinas 101. That's the channel that you want to get. Okay. And then if you want to put a little cherry on top, Carol, I would get her. They're very inexpensive. You can get them at your local Catholic bookstore. Get her a copy of the Baltimore Catechism, the St. Joseph edition of the Baltimore Catechism, the one with the illustrations. And that's a question and answer format. And I know I probably sound like a factory rep for the Baltimore Catechism. I don't benefit in any way whatsoever. The people who published that book have no idea that I even exist. But I just know mm-hmm. from experience how helpful it is, especially for somebody like her, who's sort of like at the very most basic level. She doesn't need fancy, exhaustive or detailed explanations. She needs the basics, the most basic things mm-hmm. of all. And then she can learn as she goes. I have a feeling if you ply her with these videos from the Aquinas Institute or the Thomistic Institute, Aquinas 101, and then maybe give her a copy of the Baltimore Catechism, I think you'd be really helping her, okay? And then maybe do this. After some time goes by, maybe a month or so, give me a call back and let me know what effect it had. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed in prayer that it will have the effect that you're looking for. But I think you will be helping her a great deal if you do that. Thank you, Carol. I appreciate it very much. Let's go now to Katerina in Nashville. Good morning, Katerina.
Good morning, Patrick. I have a question. I've been noticing how a lot of people these days would say after they have a baby, they are not baptizing the baby, even though they are Catholic, saying, well, let the child decide when the child mm-hmm. is bigger or whatever, older, to make the decision. And I would argue with how can you let the child be without being baptized? You know, God forbid something would happen, you know, the child might not go to heaven. And they would reason with me that that's not the truth, that children always go to heaven, etc. So I was wondering, what's your input on that? Do babies who don't get baptized, let's say, you know, till they are 10, could go to heaven if something would have happened to them?
Okay, that's a very good question that we all wonder about. Isn't it true? Because those who have lost children in miscarriage, for example, or children who die young, and if they die without the benefit of baptism, that does introduce a question. What happens to them? And the reason there's a question there is because Jesus himself said that baptism is necessary for salvation. And in John 3, to kind of go back to that passage I alluded to a minute ago, in speaking to Nicodemus, he said, unless a man is born from above, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus understood him to be like, what do you mean? Like being born again? Like, how can a man, once he's born, go back inside his mother's body and be born again? See, we didn't really understand what Jesus meant. So Jesus said, unless a man be born again, be born of water and the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So this passage and others like it point us to the fact that baptism is necessary for salvation for those who can receive it. There are people for whom it's impossible to be baptized, like a child who dies in the womb, for example. So the question is, well, what about them? If baptism is necessary because it provides sanctifying grace to the soul, it eradicates the condition of original sin, it eradicates all actual sins and the effects of sin, and the soul is completely pristine and beautiful and animated with God's grace. If that's what's necessary to be in heaven with God, and it is, then for somebody who didn't get baptized, is it possible for him or her to go to heaven? So what the church says in that regard is yes, it's certainly possible, but only in a way that has not been revealed to us by the Lord. We don't know. We know what the norm is. We know what the standard is, but God has not revealed to us how he might handle that. So I would draw your attention to what's known as the hope of salvation for infants who die without being baptized, and that's by the International Theological Commission, and it's from the Vatican, let's put it that way. And it's on the Vatican website. I'll get a link to this for you on the show Twitter feed at P Madrid Show, or you can find it on the show page, relevantradio.com/Patrick. But I would read this. It's well worth the time to read because to synopsize it, the message is, even though we don't know with certitude because it hasn't been revealed to us, we have every reason to trust and hope in God's mercy and love for these children. He loves them even more than we do. And we trust in his love and his mercy and his kindness to them, that in some way he will give them sanctifying grace so that they can go to heaven. And that really suits me. I like hearing that. And as a father who lost our 12th child in miscarriage, and it was a shock to us because all the other pregnancies were very happy and healthy and easy, but that baby died in miscarriage. And so I have a child somewhere, and I want to meet that child. And so I very much resonate with what this Vatican statement has to say. So I would read that, maybe share that with her and encourage her to have her children baptized. It's very important. And it would be a sin of neglect, a sin of negligence, if the mother, knowing that her child should be baptized, failed to do so. I could say a lot more, Katerina, but I'll leave it at that. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Let's go now to Duxbury, Massachusetts, and talk to Father Bob. Hello, Father Bob.
Hi there, Patrick. Thank you for your wonderful work on Relevant Radio. And I learn a lot from what you have to share.
Thank you.
Just before your program was on, there was a promo, and I was struck by the promo that happened to say that your goal, and it was in your words, was to get to heaven, and that was the Relevant Radio goal. Mm-hmm. And I must admit that I sometimes wince when I hear that. And it's a wonderful and noble goal, but I look at it a little differently when I think about, I want to love Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. I want to become like Jesus. And I do that within the context of his church. And that's ultimately, my goal, my desire, my meaning and purpose is to know, love, follow Jesus, and then trusting that if I become like him, as I become ever more converted into his image, that I may then, when I see him face to face, he will welcome me because he recognizes himself in me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't go about it with the old traditional sense of the, you know, the contrition perfect and imperfect contrition. Imperfect is the fact that you don't want to dread the loss of heaven.
Father, forgive me. I'm out of time. If you don't mind holding, I'll come back to you on the other side of this quick timeout. I'll be right back.